Jackson. I'm going to repeat that. 37 and a quarter. Hurry for the lead.
Hey everyone, welcome to an all new episode of Dubs Talk presented by Wendy's. Get a $1.99 honey butter chicken biscuit today. That is at Wendy's. And Kendra Andrews here, Grant Lifman. Oh, I mean, last time we met, we were talking to Steph Curry, and now we will be talking a lot about Steph Curry.
There's a lot to cover with this man right now.
It's astounding what he is doing right now. And it's at a level in which, you know, we talk about him so much and the media talks about him. And you would think that you'd run out of things to say, right? And there's only so many superlatives you can give. However, the problem is he's getting better. And so it's like you almost wasted the superlatives before because you could have used them for now.
It's true. I literally had almost this exact conversation with our colleague Monty Poole a couple days ago. You know, we were figuring out what we were going to write off of the game that night. I can't remember exactly which one, but it was one of the games this last week. And I said, okay, Monty, you're going to write on what's going on with James Wiseman. Okay, what do we think I should write about? And he goes, well, Steph is always an option. If nothing else catches your eye, you can write about Steph Curry. And you know which game it was? It was the game after he broke Wilt's record. I can't remember who that's against right now, but it was the game after he hit 11 threes, and the game after the Warriors tied their franchise record, 24 threes. The game after that, Steph Curry put up another, you know, 30 point plus performance, but in a completely different way than he did when he hit 11 threes. Everything was inside. And so it's the range that he has been showing us while putting up pretty much the same astronomic numbers these past 10 games is pretty astounding.
Yeah, that's the word of the day. Astounding. It is incredible what he's doing. Now, I want to jump into some stats and I'm going to read off a bunch of stats. But before I even say a word about it, let's hear what Steph Curry has to say about his stats.
Steph, is this 10 game stretch the best you've played in your career?
I mean, statistically, it is for sure. So this season's required a little bit, you know, something different. I'm trying to meet that moment. It's a fun brand of basketball. Just trying to put wins together with it. And, you know, I have supreme confidence. I'm you know, I've been blessed with a very, you know, special skill set that I'm trying to continue to master and hone and get better at. And that's showing, the work is showing. So I'm trying to, you know, obviously sustain that for this season because it's required for us to get to where we want to go.
So obviously Steph recognized, it's funny hearing him try to dance around the answer by staying pretty humble about it. It's like, you know, I was blessed with a gift and, you know, at no point do you go, oh, this guy's too cocky. You know, he knows how to say it. He said, say it right. But he did recognize statistically, this is the best stretch of his career. Now, there are a million different ways to go with this stretch. And I will bring up some numbers here just so we can go over it together. First of all, let's just put this out there. In the last 10 games, and these are 10 games since he has returned from his injury in which he, what was the official designation on that? Tailbone contusion? Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So since his tailbone contusion, while he was working himself back and had, as he quote, butt pad on his butt, he has put up in the last 10 games, 39.1 points per game. He's shooting nearly 55% from the field. He's shooting nearly 49% from three. And it's not just 49% from three. He's doing it on 14 attempts per game. he's 6.4 rebounds, 4.5 assists, but it really the numbers that we're looking at here are 39.1 points per game. And there are so many different ways to look at it because, first of all, the stat that keeps being brought up is that no guy over the age of 33, since Kobe Bryant, who's number one, has had a 10-game stretch of 30 points or more. We're nearly at a 10-game stretch of nearly 40-point average. Now, it's I know we're going 30 points or more, but it's almost like underselling him by saying 30 on that. And the minute you put Kobe Bryant's name next to something, all of a sudden you're in this territory of, okay.
Well, that's the thing with all of the numbers that Steph has been putting up recently or the records that he's been breaking is every name that he's either second to or has passed are the legends of this game. Wilt Chamberlain, Kobe Bryant, Chris Mullin, you know, it's the guys that are icons, and Steph is doing this on a nightly basis. You know, I think he was the first player to have, you know, three games in a week or something of 10 or more threes, or, you know, just crazy, crazy things like that, that the only other people to have ever done it are the ones that you say NBA, those are the names that pop into your head, Wilt Chamberlain, Kobe. So it's, and Steph Curry apparently now. So
well, so casually, you just said the three games over 10 or more threes. But let's just put that in perspective here for a second. If Steph Curry only had this last week of basketball, he would rank third all time in 10 or more three-point games. All time. Second would be Klay Thompson, and first would be Steph Curry. But the point is, just that alone, this last week. And yet it just feels normal somehow for him. And that's what's crazy. When he makes his 10th three, you go, wow, he's having a really good game. But that's not normal. And that's how we joked about with him. It's not normal.
Well, I was about to say, the first thought I had when he hit his consecutive at least 10 three-pointers is literally when we were speaking with him, Grant, you said, you know, you need to do this more often because I'm having to go back and check, well, when's the last time that you hit 10 or more threes? And he did you a favor by doing it in consecutive nights and then 2 days later doing it again. I mean, so that was a gift to you.
Yeah, no, seriously, what a gift. Now, I do have to say, if you haven't caught up on this, if you listened to our last pod before, I got a little tangent here. Steph was talking about his mentions, right? And that he reads his mentions at halftime. And we talked about how he only looks at the blue check mark, you know, the verified people, the verified accounts. Well, if you don't know this yet, the next game after the pod was released, the pod was about to be released next morning. We had recorded the day before. During the game at halftime, I tweeted at him, it's something like, hey, if you're looking at this at halftime, Kendra and I think that you're having a really good game. And I put the Billy Madison reference that we talked about.
Yes.
At halftime, Steph Curry likes that tweet.
Yeah.
He likes the tweet, which just trying to show, hey, I told you, I actually look at these things.
Well, not to mention that the day that the podcast came out.
Yep.
Before the game, I was texting with our other coworker, Kareth Burke, and she was, you know, what a great podcast. I'm going to tweet at him at halftime. And I was like, do it. And she said, Steph, if you're reading this at halftime, can you run back on the court? Doing a little
Stepherson airplane.
Stepherson airplane. And he did.
Yeah. The best part was he didn't do it after halftime. He waited till he hit that big three late, which showed that he had been thinking about, oh man, I have to do something good to be able to do this. So the point is he is trying to deliver messages to everyone saying, hey, listen, I really do read what's happening at halftime, which is so funny. Normally I would say that's just, you know, if someone did that and you'd say, aha, they're being disrespectful to the other team, you know, just messing around at halftime, or disrespectful for his own team, not taking it too seriously or whatever. I mean, first of all, the way he's playing right now, he can do whatever the heck he wants. I mean, he could chug a beer at halftime if he wants to, and it'd be totally acceptable. But also just the fact of this is him, right? He has fun. That's how he survives. That's how he puts up 50 points and everything is because he's having fun. And if it's a game, he gets to do whatever the hell he wants and enjoy it.
Well, and I think that's such an important distinction is the fun part too. And zooming out from specifically Steph, but to just the Warriors as a team, having fun has been so important to, you know, their recipe for success in these past several years. And earlier in the season, that joy was completely missing and you could see it in the way that they played. And that definitely affected the results of the game. And now there's definitely still improvements to be made. And, you know, they're not who they used to be. However, you can 100% tell that that joy has returned. You have Steph doing his celebrations. You have guys jumping all over each other on the bench. You can tell that that has really returned. And they're playing a much looser brand of basketball, which really is who they are. They've gotten back to their true identity as a team.
And you know what the greatest part about that, and just the truth, just the absolute truth of the matter, they're having fun because of Steph Curry. That's it.
100%.
They wouldn't be having this fun if Steph Curry wasn't doing what he's doing right now. They're playing loose and fun because the guy is putting up monster numbers, helping them win games. And so everyone else gets to have fun. They're given the opportunity to have fun because of Steph Curry.
100%.
Yeah. So, and that's the crazy part is that this would not be a fun stretch they've been going through if not for Steph Curry. They probably would have lost more games, et cetera, et cetera. So, and that leads us to our next conversation about the MVP. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this since the beginning. It's going to come down to wins and losses at the end of the day. And that's going to be the difference. It's great that Steph puts up these monster games on national TV and reminds everyone how he's one of the best players of all time. And is having just such a phenomenal season. And yet he will not win MVP this year. They would have to go on a, they have to win a majority of the games the rest of the way out and sneak into a seed, like you're maybe the sixth seed somehow, which I don't think is possible, but you know, they would have to do something crazy and then they'd be like, oh my God, you know, we got to give it to Steph Curry. But Kendra, I just, unfortunately, and this is not my opinion, this is just the truth of the matter. And he would acknowledge it. Draymond's acknowledged it before. You need to have more wins.
You have to have more wins. And you look at some of the other players that are in contention for MVP this season, Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid. To me, those are the two leaders in this race because of just that. They are putting up insanely good numbers as well, and their teams are being really successful. So it's not like there aren't other players putting up, you know, astronomical numbers. It's not, and aren't winning, because there are, and the difference is the way that they do it. You know, I personally think it is more fun to watch Steph Curry than Joel Embiid, just because of the style that he plays. It's a little bit more jaw-dropping, mind-blowing, but you can't deny the fact that there are other guys who are playing extremely well and they're doing better in the standings as well.
And it's funny because, again, it's not the best player. That's just not how MVP is. I'll put it this way. If a GM had to decide between those three players, who do they want next season for one season, they would pick Steph Curry. I mean, they would pick Steph Curry. But it would be, you know, there's reasons you'd build your team around Jokic or Embiid, but yes, that's not what we're doing here.
No. And the MVP, there's so many nuances to it. And you think most valuable player, well, who's the most valuable player to their team? Who do you take out and everything crumbles? I 100% believe, you know, if Nikola Jokic missed the stretch of game for the Nuggets, I do believe that with Jamal Murray out, they would have a little bit more of a difficult time. They would still be able to have some success. You take Joel Embiid out, I think the 76ers would still be able to have some success. We've seen what happens when you take Steph Curry out of the Warriors lineup and it's mayhem. They don't know how to function. And to put it lightly.
I think there's bigger issues there. Yeah.
But that's not the only thing that matters in the MVP race and if it was just who really is the most valuable player to their team, regardless of record, regardless of anything else, it would be Steph Curry, but that's not the way it goes.
Wouldn't even know how to function. My goodness. Jackie.
I mean, do you disagree?
I'm just I know you're making you're being a little hyperbolic, of course, but
they can function.
Yes. But
I
know I'm messing around. No, it's very, 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 very apparent how much they struggle without Steph Curry because the system is built around Steph Curry. Everything they do is to funnel to Steph Curry. So that's just how it is, right? And MVP, again, would I vote for Steph Curry? Yes, I would vote for Steph Curry. I have really terrible news for anyone who wants Steph Curry to win. I don't have a vote. And the people who do look at wins and losses. And I will say this, though, if Jokic or Embiid win, I will say they deserve an MVP award, too. I think what they have done has been exceptional. Jokic is just, I would say he's the favorite in my mind right now. I think he is just what he's doing, these numbers he's putting up. You know, every now and then check in on these other teams and see what they're doing because these numbers. But what Steph is doing right now, there is a concern a little bit about his ankle. When he rolled his ankle against Boston, I think I almost threw up. But he said he's okay. He said it's the ones from the past, right? It's similar to what he's had before.
Yeah. I mean, we all remember Steph's first several years in the league battling a lot of ankle injuries. And he said after that game against the Celtics the other night, he said, you know, if anything came from that experience of having all those ankle injuries, it's that he knows his body, but particularly his ankles very, very well. He can tell when it is something more serious that could lead to more trouble, or if it is a twist, which is what happened against the Celtics. So, you know, I think the team is optimistic that he'll be good to go and will be available and won't have to miss anything. But, you know, it's definitely, they don't want to push anything because as we just established, they can't function without him. And so they don't want to push anything because they don't want anything to get worse. But at the same time, I also believe the Warriors would rather have him sit out one game, especially, well, no, I mean, they wouldn't throw in the towel against the 76ers, but against a game that's already going to be very, very difficult and then have him back for the rest of the season instead of risking something. But from what I'm hearing, he should be okay to play.
Yeah, they will be very cautious. We will say that.
Yes.
Like they should be. And I know they want to make a playoff push and absolutely, but the health of Steph Curry and his ankles means more to the world peace than anything else. Now Steve Kerr got a chance to, I mean, every post game, and I actually feel for him on this one, because everyone asks a question about Steph Curry and he goes, and props to him, he gives the best answer he can give, but my goodness, like every day of his life, he has to answer about a question about Steph Curry, and it's hard not to repeat yourself without sounding like, I don't know what else to say.
If we have a hard time coming up with superlatives, how does Steve Kerr feel about it, you know?
Exactly, and to be fair, a lot of times, countless times he said, I don't know what else to say. So that does come up, but here's Steve Kerr talking about the recent play of Steph.
Steph Curry, you know? So it's not just the skill level, it's the confidence, it's the bravado, it's the willingness to fail and the and not think twice about it. He goes for it every time, every play, competes, not afraid of failure, and trusts his skill because he's worked his whole life for this, and he's just at the peak of his powers.
Dish and Sling customers, don't miss a game this season on NBC Sports Bay Area and NBC Sports California. Don't miss your A's, your Giants, your Kings, your Sharks, your Warriors. To keep watching your favorite teams, go to howtowatchnbcsports.com.
The peak of his powers. Ooh, there's a lot to unpack there, and I don't think we're going to spend the rest of this pod unpacking it, but the word peak would assume that means he can't get better than this, which I never thought he could get better than he already was, and I think he is getting better, but I would say this is his peak. But then I almost am like, am I selling him short because the guy maybe is going to average a 10-game stretch of 72 points, and I'll be like, oh, it's classic Steph Curry.
Well, I think that you can look at it in terms of this is the peak of what we've seen so far. And I think that we can say that without putting a cap on anything that he still is capable of doing, because I agree, you know, there, he could probably figure out somehow how to do something more, but you know, you, in kind of like what Steph said, you know, the best 10 game statistically that he put together, I think from his body of work thus far, I think that this is the peak, the most peaky we've seen.
The most peaky most we've peaky. Seen. yeah, it is the most peaky we've seen. I don't think it's hard because you don't want to say this is the best he's ever played, because then you're like, well, he won the unanimous MVP. How could you say? And they've won titles. They had five straight seasons, which they went to the finals. How could you say this now? But at some point, this 10-game stretch, I would say he has never played better over a 10-game stretch in his career. So why can't you say I've never seen him play better, right?
Right. I was even literally a couple days ago or like last week, I was looking at those numbers during that 15-16 season that he won the unanimous MVP to see, has there been a stretch like this one before? And, you know, during that season, there were several stretches stood out to me that he put up, you know, very impressive numbers. But the difference to me now versus then is during those times, it would be okay. One night when you, and this is just kind of goes to show how dominant Steph Curry is, when you say, oh man, he only scored 26 points. It's like,
loser.
Okay, well, right now that's pretty good. You know, it would be 26 one night, then 33, then 40, then 20, then 37, then 50, then,
right.
You know, it was, and I mean, again, that sounds so snobby to be like, oh my gosh, what? 26 and then 50, gosh. But I mean, but then you look at what he's doing now and it's 10 games with 30 or more. And as you said, averaging nearly 40. Nowhere in that 2015-16 season did he have this long of a stretch where he was putting up such big numbers. And, you know, and the, you have to look at context as well. Just context is so incredibly different as we're, you know, with the guys that he had on this team versus this year. Where would this team be without him? He is literally winning this team games. And I think you have to think about that too, in terms of just looking at how dominant he's been. He is the reason why the Warriors were on that four-game winning streak and really competed against the Celtics.
Yeah, no, that it's exactly why. And you mentioned the people playing with him. So the reason you point to this is the best probably he's played in his career, because he had such a great team in the 2015-16 season. Now, Kevin Durant was not there yet, but there was plenty of great, great, great players who were at their peaks, quote unquote, or at their best at that time too. You had Klay Thompson, you had Draymond Green, whom you could argue were two players of the top 15 in the NBA at that point, like the, around that number. And so you had that with Steph Curry and you're like, oh wow, that's a pretty good squad. That doesn't take anything away from Steph Curry did. He was an MVP. He was easily the MVP that year. But you look at what he's doing now, he doesn't have that. He doesn't have anyone near the top 15 on his team. I'm not even gonna go and try to project where the next person is on the list, but Andrew Wiggins is a good player. I think he's a very good player. I think Draymond Green has done incredible things this year. You know, he's in places he struggled. He also has done very well. And again, a lot of these things are because Steph Curry's on the court, but that's just, you know, he's taking advantage of it. But he's not have anywhere near the people with him. And that's why everyone's just astounded by what he's doing and what the record of the Warriors is, despite all the injuries or just inconsistency and poor play, all the things that have happened with them, because Steph Curry has done what he has done. But let's talk about the bench here for a second, because a lot of these guys will be, or that will have the chance to be, on the team next season. And let's first start with Steve Kerr talking about the recent play of the bench.
A good mix, Monty. It's a good mix of veteran experience, defense, and some shot making. Jordan Poole's been a big help for us as a scorer in that group. Looney really takes care of us defensively and kind of quarterbacks the defense. And then Alon is into the ball, and it's either Damian Lee or Juan, and those guys provide something different. Damian can really shoot it, and Juan is a fighter and a playmaker. So been a really good group.
Kendra, when I'm looking at the 2021-22 season, there are guys that are under contract that the Warriors should feel very good about being in the rotation. This is for a team, they want to compete for a title next season. Right now, they're talking borderline playoffs. We're talking about a title next season. And Steve Kerr's right. The way they're playing, the mixtures, Kevon Looney is doing Kevon Looney things. They'd be very happy with what he's doing right now. Jordan Poole has been a revelation, really. Just seeing his growth has been phenomenal to watch. And then finally, you have Damian Lee, who's been a veteran presence with them, great shooter, doing all the small things out there. And then Juan Toscano-Anderson, mm-hmm. whom took that very scary fall against the Celtics, concussion protocol. He was, they said he did have a concussion. He had a laceration on his head as well. He was part of the reason they lost that game in the end, because he wasn't out there anymore. He saved that ball. He went all out, kicked it, and Steph hit a three on that. It was like the momentum was all on their side, and then Juan gets hurt and just shows how important he is. Juan Toscano-Anderson is a very good basketball player that needs to be in the rotation. I've said it this whole year, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it one more time for next season as well. So having said all that, Kendra, there actually are good pieces. So I'm not saying Steph Curry's playing with a bunch of chumps who suck out there, but no, there are pieces there that you're like, that could be a solid part of a bench next season.
Yeah, and that's the key word, part of a bench. You need the same level of production from Kevon Looney. I think he's been terrific for the Warriors in his role this season, and has done a good job of really jumping back and forth between the bench and the starting lineup with all the issues surrounding the center position this year. And then, yeah, Jordan Poole and Juan Toscano-Anderson, just complete breakout rising players. And, you look at the makeup of the bench this season, and, youth and experience or inexperience have definitely been an issue. And I think that's where the Warriors need to figure out how to fill out that bench unit with some more veteran players. You mentioned Damian Lee, and that's a good starting piece, but... And then you do think about, okay, well, with Klay Thompson coming back, would that put Kelly Oubre to the bench if he returns? That's also another good veteran presence to have on that bench. So I really do think it's just about filling it out, because as Steve Kerr said, they have found some combinations that really do work. They've established, between Jordan Poole and either James Wiseman when he was healthy or Kevon Looney, they've established a good pick and roll. Steve Kerr's talked about the way that both Looney and Wiseman can pull defenders into the paint. They have so many good shooters with JTA and Poole and Damian Lee. Again, if you add Kelly Oubre, who also has been playing with the second unit, same with Andrew Wiggins, they can knock down shots. So they're starting to find something good. But when it comes to this season, they just don't have anyone to fill in where they haven't figured it out, or where their downfalls are. And I think that should be something that they really focus on during this offseason, is how do we just fill out this bench that our young players are going to be more developed, but then also get guys who have more experience.
I mean, Ken Bazemore says he loves it here. There's a chance maybe he'd come back again on a minimum. The way he's played this season and the numbers he's put up, there would be definitely teams willing to give him more money, but maybe he's just happy in the Bay Area and wants to be around his good friends like Steph. So he would be a good veteran presence to bring back next year if possible. So I don't know who's available yet for next year. That's still up in the air, but you're right. It just gets some veterans with these guys and you do have a foundation. We don't know what picks they have this year yet. So that's something as well that'll play into it, but the bench is starting to come together. It's a good time for them to come together considering it's the end of the season. They're trying to make a little run here. And as you said, they are having fun. Is it because of Steph Curry? Probably, but Steph Curry is Steph Curry. So have fun, enjoy yourself. And the bench is, you know what? They're not only having fun, they're picking up their game.
I was about to say the same thing. The biggest difference, and this is going to sound so obvious when I say it, but is that in these past several games, which they have failed to do up until this past week, is they have not only been maintaining leads that they inherit from the starters, but they've also been able in some situations to build on it and give the starters a bigger lead, or if they were down when the bench came in, get back in the game. And that's something that the bench has not done until, you know, last week. And so it's really, it's an encouraging sign. I think that's what it is all season long. You know, they talk about what their issues are, but you never see any development or any growth from anyone. And finally, we're starting to see them say, this is what we're doing wrong, and then actually figure out how to get better at it. And again, that doesn't mean that there is no more room to grow, because that's definitely not true. It just means that they have finally started to figure out how to take steps in the right direction.
Completely agree. Finally, we agree on something. My goodness, took us this long. Whew, crazy.
God, hard work.
so hard. Well, we get to watch Steph Curry some more. Hopefully his ankle is going to rest. Just make sure it's okay. Well, even if he misses a game, I don't care. I just want to see Steph Curry do what he's been doing, because it makes, you know, how it's fun for them. My God, watching basketball, how much more fun is it right now? It is just more fun.
I was yelling at my TV last night. I was heckling and, like, you know.
You're doing it all.
Doing lots of, like, leg kicks and stuff. Whoa. Like that. Both good and bad, you know. It's,
yeah.
It's just a lot going on.
Steph Curry bringing out the leg kicks. Unbelievable. About time.
Good thing I watched that game by myself.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us. As always, rate, subscribe, do all you can do, and tell your friends about the pod. We appreciate it, and reach out anytime you want. We'd love hearing your feedback. And as always, have a good morning, good evening, or
afternoon,
and good night.
Yeah.
'Jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.